Okay. All right, we're in business.
Great.
Okay. So I had a ton of notes from our last call, but I'm sure you maybe have given some thought to some of the things that you wanted to talk about. And I sent you via email a client acquisition matrix, which we may or may not, you know, get into today. So I always like to start the call with your agenda, anything that's pressing, anything that's on your mind that you feel important to cover before I get into kind of an agenda here. So let's start with you first, if that's okay.
I don't really have an agenda. I'll just tell you generally that I was very extremely impressed with your background. Wow, you've certainly played in the big leagues and had a long and storied career. So, secondly,
I've taken my lumps.
What's that?
I've taken my lumps.
I bet working in the C-suite at Merrill Lynch, there were some lumps. I'm sure that's any C-suite can be a tough place, but anyway.
I'm glad to
be on your team. Secondly, I kind of believe in stuff after I've seen it work. And I think I'm not totally implementing Supernova, but I'm generally implementing it. But I see firsthand it's exactly perfect for me that if my total focus is on serving clients extremely well, having the monthlies, I think it got me a great referral. The first, I believe that it got me a $2 million
relationship.
Maybe $2.5 million, but the money's in the transfer process now. But I personally believe that I've seen this work, so it's kind of like I'll believe it when I see it. Well, I've seen it, so. I want to keep doing it better.
Okay.
And I've got to grow my business. So that's it.
Okay. All right. Let's just I tell you, we'll take this in a couple of spots. Let's first just go through a checklist to confirm kind of your comfort level with certain things. And then I sent you a copy of a client acquisition matrix via email this morning.
Okay. I've been in a call all morning, so.
Okay. Check your email and see if that's popped up.
Let's see. Okay, I got it. I'm opening.
Okay.
It.
Great. Okay. Now, before we get into the acquisition matrix, let's just try to confirm a couple of things in terms of your level of comfort. I don't think you probably had a lot of segmentation issues, but you needed to understand it as you start to build your practice going forward. So, first of all, any questions on segmentation, you know, the 80-20 rule and, you know, that aspect of your practice?
I don't have any questions. Whether
okay.
I'm doing it properly, I don't know, but I don't have any questions about it. I certainly understand or think I understand it and believe in it. So,
okay. How about what have you put as your target relationship in terms of asset thresholds that you're going to go after?
Well, Rob and I agreed to, I mean, this sounds like a ridiculously low minimum, but after discussing thoroughly where I am and that sort of thing, he kind of guided me to say 250 was the minimum. He didn't want to put too high to exclude people, but honestly, if it's the right person, obviously I'd take somebody less than that. Like one of my favorite best clients, she referred her son, and I don't know if I've got an unread email here that he sent me this morning. So he's a tech guy with a rapidly growing tech company. And so I'm taking him. I don't care if he's got $5. He's a great person, and he's in a great, rapidly growing company. I'm taking him. I don't care.
Okay, so we call
if
that.
He wants to join me.
Yeah, we call that the rule of common sense. You know, you've got a relationship with a larger client, and they have a son, an uncle, an aunt, or what have you, and we call them a butler, where they get a scaled down version of the service, which is a 4-1 service. Okay, so 3 butlers equal 1 client. Okay, so the clients that you're delivering the 12-4-2 service to may have an aunt, and they may want you to work with them, and they may be, or a child or what have you, adult child. And they may be the recipient of those assets one day. So, of course, you want to take some of those, what we call butlers. Okay?
Well, and another point on that, you know, my practice is so small. I've only got 50 relationships. So if my ceiling is 100, I'm not anywhere close to that. So I can probably afford better than others to take on some high-quality butlers.
Okay. Okay. All right. So we've got your minimum at 250, and we may want to think about that minimum, given your background and your skill set. You're certainly capable of working with clients with more substantial assets, but at least that's what you have down as the minimum. Now, what do you think you want to target in terms of once we go through this client acquisition matrix and we're really focused on the right relationship, what do you want to target as a relationship? We have a minimum, but now...
You talking about like a niche or...?
Just first of all, in terms of the asset level that you want to target.
Well, obviously 1-3 million is ideal, but, I'd say more like the 1.
Okay. So a million.
I mean,
would have a target. Okay. 1 million in assets. Okay. I think that makes sense. I'll tell you a funny story. You know, when I started in the business, it was very transactional. And we'd be on the phone all day getting 100 shares here, 200 shares there. And then we started asking for 1,000 shares. And then we came out with the cash management account. The minimum...
Well, it was a game changer, wasn't it?
Oh, it was. It was absolutely a game changer. The minimum account to open was $20,000. Do you know within 2 to 3 years the average account size was $275,000?
People were beating down the door to open one of those, right?
They were lined up outside. Okay, outside
the whole disintermediation thing. When was it? Like the mid-70s?
That was between 1977 and, going into the early 80s.
I bet money market rates were north of 12%, weren't they?
Oh, they got as high as 21%. I mean, the all you had to do was say, look, this is Curtis Brown, I'm calling from Merrill Lynch. How would you like to get 21% on your money with no market risk, and you can have it anytime you want? They were bringing money in left and right. Okay?
I heard, yeah. Well, that's quite an innovation by Merrill Lynch, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So I just wanted you to kind of think about your minimums and targets in the context of the past and now looking at the present. So I think targeting the million-dollar relationship is absolutely what you want to be doing right now.
Well, another thing is you're quite intensely aware of this business is still changing rapidly, and with robo and AI and all this stuff, I think who can you really deliver value to? Who's got enough problems to justify customized kind of intense personal financial planning? It's only primarily the people who've got more money, right? A lot of money.
Yeah, absolutely. So they're retiring with more in the way of substantial assets. And you're right in the mix of one of those zones where you live right now. So I'm going to go online later, and I'm going to just take a look at some of the demographics that will probably bear out the households and the net worths in your particular market.
Well, so it's a very dynamic area because you got the Research Triangle Park, Duke, Carolina, and NC State. A lot of super smart people and a lot of entrepreneurs. We're big in tech. We're big in Apple. You just closed on a massive piece of property here. We didn't get the big Austin thing, but they're apparently going to do a lot more in the Research Triangle. So we got a lot of tech entrepreneurs, growing companies, and it's a little Silicon Valley East. I'm sure there's a lot of stuff in the New York City area and D.C., but we're a happening lower tier place.
Okay. So we're going to get into the whole idea of niche markets, and I'm going to send you, I don't think I've sent it yet, but an article on niche markets, and that's going to be part of this whole business development kind of track, I think, that we're ready to take. So I'm going to go through a couple more checklists here. Organization. How are you feeling about your organization right now? The folder system. And
the folder system. Go ahead.
Yeah.
The folder system. I've got the folders. I'm not really using them.
Okay.
But that's a project that I need to physically put them in the credenza drawers beside me so I don't have to hike back to the big storage room and be fetching those. It's just a royal pain. So I'm going to get these set up.
Okay.
So they're right beside me. They're more accessible. So that will help me utilize those better.
Okay.
But I've got them all created.
Got your folders created. Fantastic. How about the contents? What goes inside? You know, with your profile and everything for the client folders. How are you with that?
I've got all that, ready to go. I'm just not doing it very well. But I'm having the 12-4-2 things pretty well. And I'm finding it's like a light of revelation has come on where, you get one of those moments where you say, yes, finally get it. But spending more time with clients, especially doing useful stuff for them.
Right.
Even if you didn't do anything useful for them, just spending time with them. But if you spend time with them and do useful stuff for them, kaboom, it actually is going to drive referrals. I mean, it's just no-brainer.
Right.
Which I hate to be so stupid and not really get that, especially since I started out at Merrill Lynch, but it's kind of dawned on me.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, keep in mind, this is you and I. We're not going to, yeah, I'm not going to be calling up your clients or your manager. So you and I, we can feel free to talk freely. Okay, so that is the cornerstone of the organization. And the big rationale for that is you don't want anything to fall through the cracks on the schedule. Every client should be on your scheduler right now. And when it's time for them to call, let's say you have, you know, three clients for today, and you should pull out your folder. It should have an executive summary in there of the previous call, not long drawn out, but some of the high
right.
points you talked about. So in your executive summary, by way of review, it's just, you know, this is what we discussed, this is what we agreed to, and these are the next steps. Okay. And that's in the form of a summary, goes into the folder, and one gets emailed out to your client, and then they stick it in their folder. Okay. So now we got the organization. Now, how about communicating the service model, 1242? How are you with communicating that?
Since we're I have this relationship of total honesty, I'm not that great at it, but I'm still. I think Rob got mad at me because I wasn't, saying it like he says it, and he said it fantastically, but here's what I would say is I'm doing the 1242. I think people are liking it somewhat, some reluctantly kind of getting, okay, this might be useful, but I'm not that good at telling the story, but I'm a lot better at doing it, and I think people organically are seeing the benefit, and so it's working. It just the storytelling thing is not working that great, but to me it's more the proof is in the pudding.
Okay.
And if people get it and see it and feel it's great for them, they don't necessarily have to hear a great story around it. It's better if they hear the story and then feel it and see it, but I'm not that great at it, honestly.
Yeah, and then you get to reinforce it. So the thing about 1242 is you have to make it your own. It can't be Rob's style or my style. It has to be yours, just as long as the basics are covered. So, you know, one of the things that I would do by way of introduction, and I haven't even rehearsed this, but I just say, look, one of the cornerstones of my practice is to make sure that I deliver an exceptional client experience. Okay?
I like that.
And
see, okay, I'm going to interrupt you. I'm sorry. The way you're saying it feels real to me. The way Rob tried to force me into saying it felt contrived. I didn't like that, and I think that's one reason where we kind of got crossways is he was like hammering me with, you got to say it. I want you to put it in your words, Will, but then I put it in my words. He said, those are the wrong words, Will. Don't say it like – it wasn't like I was saying something contrary to the concept, but
right.
The way you're doing it is – I'm comfortable with it.
Yeah. You know, I would say one of the things that we're going to have the benefit of doing during our time is there are some things I've created. One of the things I created was a financial plan and strategy document for advisors. And the first thing in that is your personal vision statement. Okay? So I'd like you to think about 1242 in this way, that it's part of your overall vision for your practice. It's what clients receive when they do business with Will Morris. They're going to receive a
Are you
client.
going to send me that document?
Yeah,
Is there
sure.
a document you can send me?
Yeah, I'm going to send it to you.
Sorry to interrupt. Yeah, but I'd like that. Thank you.
Yeah. But don't be intimidated when you see the 15-page document. We're going to slowly go through it, okay? So I'm going to put an asterisk and I'm going to put a note, send Will the plan. It's a template. So when we get into 1242, and I like to sometimes draw diagrams and circles and things that help me reinforce what I do. So it all emanates with the client, okay? And then it's what you want to deliver to that client. I want to deliver a client experience. So what is that client experience? It's 12 contacts per year. It's four appointments, with two of the four appointments being in person, a 1 hour response to problems with a 24-hour resolution. Okay? A financial plan and thinking about intergenerational planning. That's the model. But it starts with, I want to deliver an exceptional client experience. And in order for me to do that, these are some of the things I need to do. So
Okay.
how's that resonate?
Okay. That resonates super.
Okay. So you don't have to have a big speech about it, but this is going to strategically link to your vision, your mission for your practice, and what you want to deliver in terms of the client experience. Okay. So that's the 1242. Now, so we get through all of these elements of organization, okay? And I will tell you, it's all these little things that are going to make the big difference in your practice. So we'll go through them and review the areas that you want to review. So no worries. Okay. Any questions so far?
No, but I like the way it's going.
Okay, great. So the next thing we want to look at is we want to look at the client acquisition matrix. Okay?
Okay.
And that's the email that I sent you. So if you could pull that up.
Okay.
Okay, so that's seven items on that list, I think. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Well, there's nine items on that list. Okay? So this really
So are
speaks.
these kind of different strategies or
Well, what.
approaches or?
Yeah, what they are nine methods of acquiring
Okay,
clients. Okay?
great. That's the best term, yeah, methods. Okay.
Yeah, there are nine methods of acquiring clients. And so this first one is the enthusiastically endorsed model. Okay? Now, this is about creating your golden Rolodex.
Right.
So part of that is you have an attorney or two that you are comfortable working with. Okay? that will actually generate an estate planning document, or could be someone working in structured settlements. Okay? So, and it could be the plumber. It could be somebody in construction. You know, client says, I've got to go get something built, or I've got to go do this. And you say, well, look, you know, I've got a couple of folks that have been highly recommended that I would like to suggest to you. And so that's why you do your golden Rolodex. So as you begin to speak with clients and you talk to them and you ask them, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? If the same names keep coming up, then you want to pivot with that by simply saying, look, you know, many of my clients, you know, have enthusiastically endorsed you. And I wanted to take a moment to introduce myself and pay you a visit and explain what I do in the hopes that I might be able to provide other introductions. Now, you also, when you get there, is you're going to try to get introductions from that CPA or that lawyer. So that's how you are using the enthusiastically endorsed model, partially, not the entire way. Okay, so that's one method. Then there's the 90-day free look.
I've never heard of that one. I'm definitely familiar with the first one, but go ahead.
So, you know, one of the things we talk about in client acquisition is this formula called 96-4-2-2, and the 90 is the free look. Okay, so this is when you come across a, you've been personally introduced. Because remember, there's no cold calling in Supernova. So you've been personally introduced. And I'm going to send you a script for it where you articulate how you work and your service model. And I'd like to treat you for the next 30, 60, 90 days as if you were an actual client. And then.
That's cool.
Yeah. And they get a folder. They get on your call schedule, so no prospects ever fall through the cracks. Okay? Back in my day, we were using 3x5 cards and metal boxes. Now we have the folder, and some folks use CRM tools, but it's all it can be electronic. But the client is getting a folder, and when you have an agenda call, you're going to talk to the client about some of the areas that he expressed an interest in. And sometimes you might be making a personal introduction to a CPA or whomever. Okay, but that's what the 90-day free look is all about. Okay, so I'm going to make another note to send you a... the script and methodology on the 90-day free look.
I like that concept. And the other things, I guess to make it really work well, wouldn't you need to have at least a printout so you can enter in what they own and so you can also talk about their investments, not just financial planning issues?
Yeah, so the process starts with that initial meeting, personal introduction. You know, you're not going to get too hot and heavy on that first meeting. You know, you are going to get permission to have a further and deeper dive conversation and begin to treat them like a client. That's the goal. Okay.
Not to beat a dead horse, but so let's say, I mean, can you give me an example of where would you uncover a prospect like this? A referral or I met this guy at a cocktail party or something?
Yeah. You know, you've been at the museum gala. And, and you're there and somebody says, look, I'd like you to meet John Jones. And he says, yeah, and then it gets into, what do you do? So now you're going to articulate your value proposition. You don't say, I'm a financial advisor with RBC. You know, you're going to say...
That goes nowhere.
That goes nowhere. So you're going to have an articulated value proposition that resonates with that person, but says, hey, we're here to have some fun this evening, but what I'd like to be able to do is give you a call next week and talk a little more about what we do. So now you've had your personal introduction, you've been personally introduced, and during that meeting is when you bring up the 90-day free look. Okay?
Let me, can I interrupt one? I say, let's say, I don't know how much this son has, but he worked at Microsoft, then Yelp. His wife was a star at Apple. They may have a lot. I don't know. But he also works at this rocking tech company here in Raleigh, North Carolina. And I wonder if that, he may just want to, I wonder if that would be the way to approach this guy.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, I'd like to have him because this firm he works with, they should have been in Silicon Valley, but for some strange reason, they're here and they are growing like crazy. And I mean, I've seen in big publications that the tech world thinks what they're doing is unique and extremely important. So he seems like an ideal client.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you think the 90-day thing might be a good way to...
Yeah, and I think so. And keep in mind that because we're offering the 90-day free look doesn't necessarily mean that it's going to take 90 days to make him a client. He could become a client and say, hey, look, I really like what I'm hearing here, and it's been 30 days in, and, you know, convert them. You know, you don't have to wait for an entire 90 days. Now, when you are treating them like a client, I'm going to assume that you have a 12 to 18-month agenda of topics already laid out to talk about.
Yep.
You just loop right into your normal practice. You send them an executive summary after that initial communication. This is what we talked about. This is what we agreed to, that you're going to send me some statements I'm going to be able to review. You're going to send me your financial plan, and he's going to be a little embarrassed. I don't have one, which...
That's great. So, that's awesome.
You know, no worries. No worries.
Well, okay? Here's another thing about me. I like the approach of I give before I get.
Yes.
You know, and that and that way, this way, the reason I liked it so much, if I can figure out how to make it work, is I kind of earn it.
Yeah.
And then it's like this great prospect I got. That I did so much work and showed them so many cool things. I mean, I had formal presentations that totally rocked them. And they said, you know, we interviewed all these other we interviewed other people. I don't know about all these other people, but other people, and the wife, when we had the, you know, closing initial dinner and kind of celebrate our new relationship, she said, you know, we talked to other people and, you know, we chose you. And she was being kind of emphatic, like, don't let us down. And I was like, don't worry. And I think the point that I'm trying to make is I earned it by working my rear end off and showing them. And so it was natural for them to go, you know, we're not taking a flyer. We've seen something that leads us to believe you're going to be good.
Exactly. So here's the final thing I want to share with you, and we're going to stay on client acquisition for a while because, you know, at this stage of the business, that's what you have to, you know, that's what you have to do, right? So
yep.
I want you to listen to this VIPSA script and strategy because that's the other thing I'm going to send to you, okay? VIPSA script. Do you recall the VIPSA model, which is on that matrix?
I remember the acronym, but I honestly, I forgot what it stands for.
Okay. So let me review this with you. So obtaining referrals, it's all part of your strategy. So the first step is, number one, you're organized with clients and prospects. They're on a regular call schedule on the calendar. Okay. Number two, you've elevated the level of service using 12-4-2. We know what that means. Number three, you have monthly client agendas. And number four, your clients receive an executive summary after each call. Okay?
Yep.
Number five, and I'm going to send this to you, so you don't even have to write it down. You've conducted a review or have done something that provides an outstanding benefit to the client. Okay? Now, what I mean is you've organized their affairs, you've saved them some money, you've minimized taxes, you've implemented some kind of long-term care scenario, you've created a college fund for the, you've done something that client says, wow, I really, really appreciate that. Okay. So now you've got this little wow thing going, which was number five. We don't want you to give anonymously by providing something, doing something without acknowledgement. That's where the giving creates a problem, where you give and people think that's just kind of what you do. But it's special. So always restate what you've accomplished or given to them and client benefits during a review. For example.
So this is the VIPSA thing?
Yeah, we're going to move right into the VIPSA script here in just a moment. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So we're setting it up. You're now getting yourself ready to get referrals, right? You've reduced taxes by a specific amount. You've created a trust to avoid probate. You've protected the family against loss of the primary breadwinner. You've grown the assets through portfolio management. You've helped to solidify retirement income in the amount of X dollars, and you've saved thousands of dollars in interest payments through maybe a mortgage refi or home equity, whatever, okay? You've done some. So now, at the end of the review, here goes your script. You're going to take this and put it in your own words, but now, Mary, I'd like to ask if there's anything else that you and your family or husband values in the relationship and working with us and the service we provide. You're just going to ask the question. So value is the first part of that VIPSA. That's what that V stands for. What do they value in the relationship? And they're going to respond by saying, I like the frequency of contact. I like the sensitivity to the needs of the family. I like the effective education, the service, the problem-solving ability. You're a great listener. You're organized. I like your team. So those are some of the things you want to hear, right?
Yep.
So what do they value? Those are the things you want to hear. Then you're going to say, well, what else might be important to you? That's the I in the VIPSA model, the important. What else might be important to you? Then it's what do you mean? We just want to make sure that we constantly fine-tune our service and capabilities for you, if that's okay. Right. With your permission, I'd like
so
to...
So this is all, you're going to send me all this stuff?
I'm sending it to you.
Okay.
As soon as we get off, I'm gonna attach it and send it.
Okay.
So with your permission, I'd like to brainstorm with you. We're always looking for good clients that like to work with our team. Are we at a point in our relationship that you can enthusiastically endorse me or us? Let me explain our introductions process. It's a meeting over coffee, breakfast, or lunch.
Are we still on the I?
Yeah. Now I'm on the P, with your permission. Okay,
what is the S?
VIPSA, V-I-S-P-A. Okay, so you're asking for permission.
Okay, permission is the P.
Yeah. And, are we in a point in the relationship where you can enthusiastically endorse me? And then if they say yes, you say, well, look, let me explain our introductions process. Okay, because sometimes clients have a fear that you're not going to take care of the relationship or, you know, you're going to be aggressive and try to sell them something in the first meeting. So what you want to do is explain what that introductions process is all about. It's a meeting over coffee, breakfast, or lunch. You bring the individual with you and make the introduction. Now, This is the way we don't do it. Here's a card. Go call this guy. Now, that's not how we want it. The best way is the personal introduction. So now you're explaining this. I find out a little about them, and we explain who we are and what we do. And at the end of the meeting, we then determine if a one-on-one follow-up meeting with just a potential client is warranted and possible. That's it. No pressure. If there's a follow-up meeting, we explain the 90-day free look. This is when we give the potential client an opportunity to be treated as if they were an actual client and they're placed on our schedule for contact and follow-up. And prior to the end of the 90-day period, they make the decision if they'd like to work with us. Okay? So then, who in your network of family, friends, neighbors, church members, or business associates that might welcome a personal introduction? So that's a question. You want to help them think about it? Then you say, well, look, I work very closely. He's a really good friend, Bill Edwards. Well, how would you suggest we meet him? And you're going to be listening very carefully for the signals. And then you're going to close. Look, I appreciate you and the time given to us today. I look forward to the next call, and thanks for arranging the meeting with Bill. Or I look forward to our next call. That's the script. That's the VIPSA model.
Well, I like this, honestly. And you're kind of, I think, customizing it to my personality, which I was kind of reared in the South, but I think, you know, my upbringing was like the worst thing you could ever do, I'm exaggerating, in life was to be pushy.
And I
would like to get rid of that, but I can't. I mean, I may be able to reduce it, but it's really hard.
Well, look, that's part of your value system. And look, I get to reflect on all the time I spent, down in Georgia. You know, it's the same thing.
That's why I like to give before I get prove. I love being generous. You know, I don't want to be abused. I don't want my generosity to be abused. But if I deliver something really valuable, whether it's an experience, some kind of kindness to the stranger or whatever, I mean, I don't do it just for the recognition, but I just think long-term in business and life, if you're effectively generous, in other words, like let's say I do something for you. It's just somehow, some way, that's going to come back to me in a good way. And, you know, you don't always, it doesn't have to be, you know, a exact correlation, you know, like I did something really nice for you. Now you have to do something really nice for me. If all I get back from it is a warm feeling, that actually gives me a warm feeling that, you know, you were in the area, I took you out to a nice dinner, you had a blast, you had fun. That would make me feel good. So that's my personality. I don't like to be grabby. In other words, I like to be a net giver. But at the same time, we all have to buy groceries.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, if you recall, there was a segment in Supernova where we talked about the rule of reciprocity.
Yes. I love it.
And it's such a natural thing, you know, and it happens literally. You know, I'm no longer a kind of a member of a country club, but you know, I was a member of five, and every time I brought somebody to play golf, they would have a wonderful experience, and at the very end, they wanted to do something nice for me, without me even asking.
Sure.
That's the rule of reciprocity. And people will do that, but it's got to start with the service model and all the little details, your agendas, your one-hour response to problems, it's executing on the financial plan, it's the monthly schedule, it's the folder, it's all those details that create this reciprocity. You're building this bank of trust so that if something doesn't go your way, you're going to be forgiven.
Exactly. I mean, I totally believe in that Stephen Covey idea of, you know, whatever he called it, but it absolutely is the truth. It works.
And that's why
I'll
this
tell
is,
you one little fun story. Go ahead.
Yeah, that's why this is going to work really well with you. So tell me your story.
That fun. So my best client, he used to be the president of Furman University. He's from Atlanta, so if you're from the Georgia, former Georgia guy. But so he referred one of his best buddies. They used to be at Davidson together, and then this guy was the new referral was the provost at Furman, and then he was the dean at the University of the South, and then he was the president at University of Evansville, which is actually a very cool institution. But this guy is super high quality, but I like academics because I'm a nerd. So this guy told me, so the former Furman president, he's a super nice guy, super successful. He got incredible charisma. But the new guy, the former Evansville president, he said, after the first meeting, he said, "Well, I got to tell you, the Furman guy, he almost never praises anybody, but he said he had extremely complimentary things to say about you." He said that tells you something, because he never says, he never praises anybody. But he's a super nice guy. It's kind of an odd comment, but I thought, well, damn, if I earned his praise and approval,
right?
it got me a great referral, but I want to keep this process going.
Yeah, absolutely. And so what you're now doing is you're going to become more deliberate in your actions. You know, you're going to have the process of bringing in new relationships. Okay, so we're going to continue to spend more time drilling down on the matrix. And so what I'm going to do, I've already sent the VIPSA script to you. We've talked about the 90-day free look today. I'm going to send you the business plan, and over time, over the next couple of months, we want to have the entire business plan and strategy document, kind of your playbook, kind of completed, okay? So that you start working your plan. Now, I'm also, next week, what I'll do is I want to cover the, again, stay with the client matrix. I want to introduce you to a vision and a mission. And I want to cover niche markets. That's a lot. But I'm going to be sending you some information to help get you acquainted. Now, I'm going to send you an article I wrote on niche markets that's going to help you clarify this. Okay? How are we doing so far?
Okay. Well, honestly, I really, really like you, what you're saying. And if I actually do, well, here's the difference between, I think the world of Rob, it wasn't that good a fit, but I'm a little different animal. You can't, if you push me around and beat me up, I could take a little bit of it, but you're a lot kind of gentler. So I like your approach. It's working for me. So
okay, good.
You can't beat me up too much. You can beat me up a little bit, but I'm a Southern boy, you know. I won't show I'm getting irritated, but I will get internally irritated. But I really like your approach. Let's keep doing this. Push me gently, I'll try to live up to your expectations. That's my motivation. I'm going to try to make Curtis happy, because I'm going to do what he says, and it's going to rock my world. That's what's going to motivate me.
Absolutely. You're going to do just fine. I'm happy to be working with you. I like you. And that's half of it. And you're extremely coachable, and you ask good questions. So,
I hope I'm coachable. We'll see. You'll have to be the judge of that after a few months. I'll try.
All right.
Live up to that expectation. Will you do me a favor? I sent whoever the powers are that does the accounting, can somebody share with me? I want to make sure I understand when they're going to charge me and what the schedule of all that stuff is.
Okay.
I sent a message to Lori, but I don't know if she's the person to handle it.
Yes. Lori.
Okay.
Lori. And also, they're going to be sending you the meeting notifications. I guess we're scheduled to do the next call in a month. They'll work out what's comfortable for you.
That's
and
perfect,
we'll get on a regular schedule.
And then how do I access this recording? Want my assistant to listen to it? Just go on the website, and there's a place to find it.
On the website, they'll do that too. And I will also send them a note to make sure that you access the recording. Okay,
thank you, Curtis, for your time. I really appreciate it.
You're quite welcome. I enjoyed speaking with you, and we'll talk to you next time on the schedule. Okay?
Thanks a million. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye.